ghost stories online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number, 855-853-4802, to share your real ghost story with us. You can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Or if you want to record your story on your mobile device using the recording app you got, you can email us that audio file, MP3, M4A, whatever it may be, to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get your stories to us. How is everyone doing this fine day? Tony Bruschi joining you. Jenny has the day off, and you may be going, well, where's Jenny? She wasn't on the show the other day either. What we're doing here, as I'm recording about two shows a day, so we're not giving you just constant rerun programming throughout the summer months. Going to do a little bit of visiting with some of my family here in the coming weeks. So I want to get a little buffer of episodes made with new content, fresh content. And with that being said, you don't always get both of us on the show because we have children and lives beyond the show that we need to take care of. But in order to get you fresh content and not just do reruns, that's the trade-off, if you will. There's not going to be many episodes like this where it's just me, but just a handful. So you get some new good ghost stories. There will be, of course, you know, every now and then we have to do some rerun episodes, but try and get as much fresh content out to you as we possibly can. And of course, EPP episodes are always brand spanking new, never reruns there. So if you're ever on a day here in the middle of summer where it's a repeat episode or something like that, and you go, darn, I really wish I had something new, check out the EPP stuff. That's what keeps this show on the air. That's what fuels it. By far, the biggest supporter of our show is you guys. And we are really essentially the definition of a crowd-funded program. Without your support, we couldn't do this thing. So EPP memberships, you go to ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all we ask. You get access to all of that content. Exclusive video content there, 150-some bonus episodes. If you sign up for a full year, you also get a bunk bed bell. And 1 month of it free. So there's a lot of perks there when you become an EPP, besides just knowing you're helping to keep this thing alive. So please do consider checking that out. Let's jump into this today. We got some stories to read. We got some calls to listen to. Let's go to our first caller. Hi, you are on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jenny. This is Ryan Turner. I'm calling in for, it's my second time calling in, but my first story, I think I sent it about 2 weeks ago. But anyway, this first story, it's the only story. It was when I was about 14, 15 years old. My big brother was about 16, 17. And we were in Franklin, Tennessee. We had my little brother, Harrison. He was also there. We were in Franklin, Tennessee, and we were at this old graveyard. It was an old Civil War, back in the Civil War, Franklin, Tennessee era, and it was in the one of the biggest graveyards in the South. And we were, you know, walking through. We loved going through like haunted places and stuff like that as kids, you know. And we went through, you know, just kind of fooling around, you know. Austin, big brother, he had his his little Android phone, and he had it on record, and he was talking to whoever could be there, you know, whatever spirits could be there. And, you know, he's just talking. We were walking around, and you know, and we're talking to it, being dumb, you know, being stupid kids. But we got home. After that, it was a fun night. It was me, my brothers. It was also my mom and my aunt. We were all there. And we got home. My brother was like, hey, I'm going to play it back. I'm going to play it back. And sure enough, you can hear it clear as day. A man's voice say, get out. And it wasn't just like a whisper. It was like more of a groan, like a get out. And I thought for sure it was my brother, my big brother, playing a prank. And, you know, he's a big prankster himself as a kid, you know, as growing up as a teenager. And, you know, he would always prank us as, you know, as we were the little brothers and stuff. And he swore up and down, like, you know, that he didn't say anything. And Harrison, my little brother, he was like, we were all there, you know, right there and right in the graveyard. And we both never heard Austin say anything. You know, it was clearly something, you know, outside of this world. And it was definitely freaky. And actually, another story in that same graveyard. I know I said I had one story, but the second story, it was a different night. It was late at night. We were going, and it was, nothing really happened, but we went through, walked through, you know, just seeing if we could see anything, any ghosts or anything like that. Never saw anything, but as we were walking back, it was me and my brothers, and it was also my mom and my aunt. We were walking back, and we saw these cigarettes. Now, you might think, okay, whatever, cigarettes, that doesn't really, that's kind of weird, but these cigarettes, you gotta understand, these cigarettes were lined up in a three, like it was a circle, a nice big circle. The ashes were in a nice big circle, and my mom and aunt swore up and down there was nothing there before when we went in there. And as we were leaving, we looked down at the stump. There was a little, you know, like a little what do you call a bench, and there were sure enough cigarette buds all around in one big circle. And I don't know, it's a very active house. It was a very bloody house in the Civil War. It was the Carton House in Franklin, Tennessee, and the history books say it was the most bloodiest battle other than Gettysburg, was the Franklin battle. So anyway, those are my two stories, and well, I hope to hear them in the future. And we love your show. I've been listening to it about 2 years now, and I stay up till like 1 or 2 in the morning just listening to it. And sometimes I fall asleep, but it's good stuff. So I hope to hear the show, and I'll see you guys later. Bye.
Well, thanks for staying up late and listening to our program. We greatly appreciate that that support and the patronage. And there you go. I think it's a pretty self-explanatory situation there and story, where you're at one of the most haunted, most active areas in the country. So it's not surprising at all that activity of any sort is going on there. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802, our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Ray from Texas. My story happened when I was very young. I was living in Evansville, Indiana at the time. We were visiting my grandmother, my mom's mom. We were staying in her trailer at the time. And, you know, they say that children are very, very sensitive to the paranormal. Well, apparently I was too. We were staying there, and it was a very stormy night, and everybody had gone to bed a little early. And I had been laying on the... For some reason, my mother decided to stick me on the couch that night. And she stayed in the bedroom down the hall, and my grandma was in her room. And it was dark in there, and I didn't like the dark very much. I was pretty much scared of the dark as a child. Most children are. But I remember laying there and not being able to sleep. And I tried to nod off to sleep and never could. I'd say probably an hour or two went by, and I remember looking over at my grandmother's rocking chair, where she would sit and smoke a pipe. She smoked a corncob pipe. And I remember looking at the rocking chair, and I remember seeing it move, starting to move, not, you know, a lot, but just gradually. And I remember being a little freaked out by that. Of course, you know, rocking chairs don't move on their own. So I tried to play it off and just, you know, ignore it. Well, then I had decided, you know, you feel comfortable and more protected when you're under a cover when you're a child. So I put the cover over my head, and I remember I was doing this, and all of a sudden I started seeing figures on the cover. You know, like light shining through, but it was like shapes, like bat wings, I guess. I thought that was kind of weird. And meanwhile, I'm still awake. I'm not sleeping. And I thought, well, this is, yeah, it's really odd. What's going on here? And I was trying my best not to be creeped out because I was wanting to be brave. And then I remember seeing these like faces, like these, they were bodiless heads moving around. I won't say they're tangible. It was more like an image image in the darkness, kind of, and they were floating, and they were different. You know, one was red, horrible red, like terrible, terrible, terrible red color. There was a blue one, and there was a green one. And there were more than just three. There were probably six or seven of these things, and they were just hideous, horrible-looking things. And I remember being very upset about it, and finally I took all I could, and I hightailed it down out off the couch, and I went through the hallway. And as I was going through the hallway, I was going to my grandmother's room. I noticed these things were following me. Well, they didn't let up. They kept following me around, and I was scared. And I was going to knock on my grandmother's, you know, door, and she was having a nightmare, probably because she was making all kinds of crazy noises in her sleep, like she was having a bad dream. Which didn't make me feel any better. It kind of added to my my fear. So I went on down to the next bedroom where my mother was sleeping, and she'd been reading her Bible. She was a Christian woman, and I was raised in church, and she had been reading her Bible before she went to bed, saying, you know, I'm praying. And she left one of the side lamps was still on, and she was sleeping. She was out cold asleep. So I got up in bed with her, and she didn't wake up when I got into the bed. I remember as I got to the bed, the wall in the back of the bed, I remember standing there holding the headboard and looking at the wall, and there was like, it was like someone opened up a scene from a movie. Told me to explain it like a movie scene. And all of a sudden I just saw this whole black and white. It was like black and white, almost in gray, and very, very, very dark and very gloomy looking sight. And there was this huge huge gate looming up into the sky. It was great. I've never seen anything so big in my life as far as the gate's concerned. And it looked like it was made of iron, and these people there was like hundreds of people, and they were all clamoring for this gate, and they were grabbing onto it, and they were climbing up the gate. And I remember they were trying to reach the top, and as they would try to do this, I would see these things come out of the sky. Now, I've heard of these creatures called harpies. They have wings like eagles or bats or whatever, and they come down. Well, these things had like spears in their arms. And as they came down, they would go into the crowd, and they would start to spear the people climbing on the gate. And they would, you know, fall down. They would come down, and it would like pick at the people and spear them. And I remember thinking, this is horrible. I didn't know what this was, but I didn't want to see it anymore. It was terrible. Then I remember seeing this one thing came flying at me out of nowhere, and it was like, it looked like a man's face, but at the same time, it had the neck and chin of a bullfrog. You know, the bullfrog inflates its chin or whatever its neck, and it comes out. It did that, and this man opened his, he reminded me of a frog almost. And He opened his mouth and these frogs came out of his mouth and they were all shooting toward me. And I remember just thinking, oh, this is no good. So as I was freaking out, my mom wakes up and she looks over at me and she goes, Ray, what are you doing in my bed? Why aren't you on the couch? And I said, Mother, I'm seeing things. There are horrible things I'm seeing. I'm seeing spirits or ghosts or I don't know what they were. I didn't know what to call them at the time because I really didn't have any kind of, I didn't understand ghosts and things like that. You know, I always knew that people went to heaven when they died or they went to hell depending on, you know, that was what I was taught. And I didn't hear about people hanging around back then. So I didn't know what to call these things. You know, I might call them demons or demonic spirits or whatever you want to call it. I have no idea. But my mother, as soon as she spoke to me, she spoke my name, all of a sudden this thing just folded up that I was seeing before my eyes. And I looked over at her, I was just like, I was so glad. She was chewing me out, but I was very glad she was talking to me. And so she picked me up. She goes, no, we're going back to the couch and you'll be fine. You just come with me. And so she grabs me and picks me up very gently. And I remember everything seemed to just float away, to move away. As soon as she touched me, it was like everything I heard, all these voices I was hearing, the things I saw were gone. They just fled from her sight. And she took me and she laid me back down on the couch and she tucked me back in, gave me a kiss. And she said, there's nothing to be afraid of, sweetheart. There's nothing to be afraid of. So just go to sleep. So I remember thinking, I was thinking in my mind, yeah, Mom, well, you didn't see what I did. If you saw that, you would be a little bit nervous too. But, you know, she was my mother and she couldn't do no wrong in my eyes as far as I was concerned at the time. So she went on back to bed and I tried to sleep and I eventually did fall asleep. But before I fell asleep, I heard this woman's voice. It was a woman, and it was, I thought it would be, people would think it was a nice voice, you know, very pleasant to hear to the ears. But the problem was this voice was not all as pleasant as it was made out to be, because the words she spoke were not kind words. And I did not take them kindly. She said to me, you know, your mother's not always going to be around. Pretty soon in your future, she's gonna, something like, pretty soon she's gonna die. You know, and you tell a child that, that kind of freaks them out. And I thought, it was kind of a warning. It was like she was saying, you know, your mother may be protecting you now, but, you know, later on, she's not gonna be around to do that. And we can do what we want, that kind of thing, you know. But that was one of my first experiences I ever had with the paranormal and spirits and whatnot. And I am a very, very sensitive person when it comes to that kind of thing. But I do have other stories to tell you, but I'm not going to tell you right now because I've probably taken too much time up. But I wanted to thank you for letting me tell my story. And I wanted to tell you that I appreciate what you guys do. You're wonderful people. My family, we enjoy listening to you. And you're very funny and very sweet. And We just like what you're doing, and we appreciate it. And sometime when I get a job in the near future, I'm hoping to be an EPP member. Right now, I'm unemployed. But anyway, y'all have a great day, okay? And God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you for taking the time to share that experience with us. You know, there's such a thing as childhood fear dreams, essentially, you know, just stuff that's innate to all of us, where, you know, abandonment, you know, fear of the boogeyman, fear of the dark, fear of things that would run through a child's mind, you know, one that hasn't been exposed to a lot of horrible, 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 horrible things. And I take it you were not a child that was exposed to a lot of horrible, 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 horrible things where these sort of images would just naturally manifest in your mind. Unless, of course, your home was adorned with, you know, Gothic artwork that displayed these sort of scenes. Because that's what was going through my mind when you were sharing that story of that dream, was those just, you know, dark and disturbing, you know, paintings that really, you know, have demons and children and babies and horrible things going on around them, you know, from a very, very, very long time ago. But if that was something you were not necessarily exposed to, you know, that's not what you were dreaming, was not something that normally would just pop into a child's mind when it comes to fear. Very, very much not just a natural fear response. Very much sounding like something that was that came to you from something very dark. And what it said to you as well, also something, you know, very dark. So yeah, do these things happen? Yeah, they do. It's most disturbing when your child does come to you and says something. You're like, hey, you know, I had this horrible nightmare, and it's just something ungodly horrid. Luckily, you know, we haven't had that with our kids, but I know there's parents out there who have, and they're just like, I don't let them watch horrible things. I know they're not exposed to it. I have no idea how they're getting some of these things. And you got to be digging a little bit, because kids are tricky, especially these days in this day and age where they can get access to things where you may not know about it. You may have put Netflix onto the kids only area, and before you know it, they're watching Die Hard with a Vengeance. And they suddenly have a fear of, you know, being on top of a burning building. It's tricky being a parent today with all the stuff that they do have access to. But there are things that you just know there's no way. This was not on PBS Kids. Daniel Tiger did not talk about demons spearing your sister and putting her head on top of the steeple of the church where he took the cross and put it upside down. That was not on the very special Christmas episode of Daniel Tiger. That's bullshit. Don't tell me that. Like, you said bullshit. That's my home. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Hi, let's hear yours.
Hey, Tony and Jenny, this is Hannah. I had written in a story about throwing my engagement ring away, and so I was so excited when I heard it on the EPP episode. I really appreciate that. I did, in fact, stop by the same gas station on my way home again another weekend, not too long ago, actually. And surprisingly, they were really entertained by my story and had told me that there was an elderly woman who had worked there for several years, and she actually had a heart attack on her night shift. And so they haven't really heard anybody say that they've seen or experienced anything much like I had, but that sometimes there are things that happen around the gas station that make them wonder if her spirit still hangs around the gas station. So I just wanted to give you a little tidbit of that information, because I know you guys were curious and I was as well. So thank you again so much, and I look forward to listening to some more wonderful stories. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the updates on that story. Greatly appreciate that. Her story, heard back in an EPP episode. Gosh, I couldn't even tell you what specific episode it was, but it was a couple weeks back, so not all that far. So if you're trying to track back to the EPPs, it's really not very far, but it was a very, very compelling story. So don't miss it in the EPP episodes. Of course, you can listen to those at ghostpodcast.com. Very interesting to hear that others have had some signs that she is still around. Obviously, a good one to still have around. Thank you for that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Got a letter in from Professor Dan from Down Under. He says, I thought I'd shoot you guys some more true ghost stories, all these I've encountered personally. His first one says, growing up on the family farm in the 1960s was fun. It was years of changes. People were a lot friendlier then, and it was a great time to hear real music. We had Hendrix, Beatles, Stones, Doors. You know, when music was real music, not the auto-tuned garbage they have today. But I digress. I lived in the middle of the bush, and for Americans, the bush is what you guys call forests, except thicker and likely to burst into flames at the first fart. There was the ruins of an old schoolhouse not far from where I lived. lived, and being the typical curious 7-year-old I was, I went off exploring. Before anyone screams about child abandonment, anyone growing up in the 60s and 70s will understand that kids went out and had their own fun outside, exploring with their friends or dogs or rifles. I learned to shoot a .303 when I was 12, but at this time I carried a .22 long rifle. It was 4 a.m., and I was out hunting with my dog, an Australian cattle dog cross, and we were looking for rabbits. I was out on the south tree line, not far from the old school, when I heard a clanging. Now, initially, I thought it was from the cows. I was out in the field, but I noticed it went on and on while the cattle stood and stared into the tree line. I froze, and the cows froze, and my dog began to growl. I looked in the direction of the sound, and it seemed to be coming from the old school. I silently crept forward, peering through the bushes until I could see the old ruins. I should explain, this place was a mission-type school where they took Aboriginal students from their parents to raise them as white people, and nothing was left except for a few stumps of piers and the remains of a swing set. Anyone who's owned a dog will tell you when they get into protective mode, they'll stand in front of you and growl at whatever it feels has put you in danger and literally stop you from moving forward. This is what Blue was doing. She was trying to protect me from what was there. I raised my gun, ready to defend myself and her, and noticed shadows about my own height, 4 foot tall, fleeting through the trees. Watching them move, and I could tell they were not coming from any person, but seemed to be made of shadows themselves. I froze in place, literally wetting myself in fear, I'm not afraid to say, as the bell kept tolling and these figures kept moving. Just then, everything stopped. The bell, the shadows, the feeling of dread in my side. And Blue whined up at me and confused in a very confused manner. I took off running for home along with her. I told my parents about what I had seen and what I experienced, and my father just nodded and explained he'd seen and heard it many times, but didn't say anything to me because he wanted to see if I could experience it myself. One of the not-so-joys about being part of a family who has investigated the paranormal for 150 years, I guess. This was only the first time I experienced it. It happened off and on about once a month for the next 5 years, until we moved away. Next story, he writes and says, it's about the haunted jail. Anyone familiar with Maitland in NSW knows the old Maitland jail. It was originally opened in 1848 and closed in 1998, and was the longest continuously used jail in Australia, and one of its most haunted. I've personally experienced 8 separate entities there. 5 are residual, 2 are sentient, and 1 is varied, as it sometimes seems residual and others it's active. People were literally flogged to death with a cat of 9 tails in front of other prisoners. They were brutal places in those early years. The first incident I had was a vocalization that when asked questions would actually answer as a disembodied voice. Now, I know that people are going to say it could have been anyone. Well, let me assure you, I don't investigate with anyone. I was in this jail alone, and it nearly cost me my life. I was standing inside a cell when I felt myself being choked by a thin piece of wire. It was cutting off my air supply, and I was about to pass out when it stopped. I could breathe again, and I literally fell 6 inches back to the floor on my feet. All of this after I asked for someone to give me a sign they were there. I found out later that a man had been kept in that cell, and he was known for murdering guards by using spring wire from his mattress. I've had a mark across the front of my throat today, and it's been over 20 years since that occurred. Can you imagine that? It's one of those things where if you were to have fallen victim to that entity, and they found him dead there, no one's going to put in the police report, ghost, likely, cause. It would have been a murder, it would have been some random person that they never find. But that's one of those things we talk about sometimes. It makes you wonder, how often are real heinous crimes committed by the undead onto the living? It makes you wonder sometimes. His other story is a haunted morgue, aka the haunted jail part two. He says he was investigating another old jail, not Maitland, but would rather not mention the name because of a reason. It'd become apparent later on. It was in January 1999. Now, January out here is boiling hot due to us being in summer. Think Florida during summer and add hot sauce. It was still in the mid-80s, Fahrenheit at 2 a.m. I've been called in by the prison staff, which is almost never done for security reasons, but I knew most of the staff personally. I was doing an EVP in the morgue. A lot of people have weird ideas about morgues. It's very rare to find the cliche marble slab in most modern morgues. It's usually the stainless steel table. Got a couple of low-level EVPs, but nothing spectacular. Too much noise, not enough vocals. And I was just about to pack up and leave when I heard a bang come from one of the body lockers. I initially laughed it off. Anyone who has been a cop or military knows we develop a black sense of humor, and called out, "Fine, good one." I started to laugh until the banging came from all 12 lockers at once. I turned my video camera back only to see it die totally within 30 seconds. Put a new battery in just before I started to pack up, and it was still sealed when I opened it. I hesitantly reached out to open one of the lockers, and all of them flew open at once and then slammed shut at the same time. I then heard a male voice scream and then yell at me, "Get out!" I'm not ashamed to say I obeyed the voice. I grabbed everything and just booked it outside. I was met by a guard I knew who was standing outside the morgue the entire time I was there, and he had not heard a thing through the one-inch-thick door. That's my couple of stories. Hope you enjoyed them as much as I did recounting them. Well, really appreciate that, Dan. Appreciate your stories and your accounts as you send those into us. Love to hear more if you got them. Figure with 150 years of family ghost hunting, you may have a few more up your sleeve, so don't hesitate to share those with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. That's going to do it for today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you all for listening. Greatly appreciate your support. If you like the show, you want more episodes, become an EPP. 150-some episodes jam-packed with exclusive content for EPP members. Our best stories are over there. Go to ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month to sign up. Or you have the option for a full year where you get one of those months free and a bunk bed bell. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.